Well, good evening, class. We're going to be talking about obedience must be recovered. I'd like for you to follow along with me in your book, if you can. Is under this the topic, but the manifestation of man rebellion, I think, is in part one. If you scroll down in your book a little bit, you're going to be able to find it. Obedience must be recovered. And here's the scripture text that we're going to use to define this lesson here. We're going to look over in Romans 5 and 12 because this subject of obedience is very important. And the reason why it must be recovered because it got lost through the ages and through religion, through tradition, and through the doctrine of men. But the apostolic government is bringing it back. It's bringing obedience back in place where it should have been and should have never been lost. And thank God for Apostle who's bringing this principle of obedience back to the church. Now in Romans 5 and 12, we're going to see where it's lost, but we're also going to see in the same scripture where it was recovered. Let's look at it. Romans 5 and 12, I'm reading out the King James Version. It said, whereas, as by one man sin entered into the world, and we know that talking about the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, where the tree was planted of good and evil, and it's under the principle of right and wrong, this particular tree. And so it said, wherefore, as by one man entered into the world, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But that, then I'm going to read another scripture here. That's in 5 and 12. And we're going to see where Jesus stepped in and did something else. And that 13th verse says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death ran from one Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the righteousness, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, I'm going to keep reading here because I want you to see something very important here. Well, let me see what we are here. Well, let's read the 15th verse. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one man be, let me read it again. For if through the offense of one man, many be dead, much more the grace of God, Apostle is talking about grace and faith right now. Grace and faith. We talking about already paid out. Much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, here it is, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Well, I went to that scripture glad particularly because even though it was lost through the grace of God, and by this grace, through Jesus Christ, this obedience was recovered and made whole again. And so now obedience is obedience because it's been recovered by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's made available to every born again Christian. Now here's something very important that come into the revelation of what we just read. Knowing by death by one man and through this grace, a revelation of knowing that this grace paid for our obedience also, that we'll redeem from the principle of disobedience, and let me use this word, which I like to say the principle of rebellion. So sin has no dominion over us, nor the spirit of rebellion has no more dominion over us. But it's by Say this word with me, class. Revelation. Why I say about revelation? Because if it came automatically, then every born-again Christian will be walking in this, in this, T-H-I-S, obedience or principle of obedience that we talk about. But sadly to say, every Christian has not this knowledge of obedience. And therefore, even though they're born again, that spirit of rebellion still reign and rule over their life, over their thoughts, life, over their action, over their motive. And therefore, it hinders God. Don't stop God. It hinders or slow him down from getting his will done in the earth realm as he desires to do so. Now, I'm going to read the scripture again, and now we're going to see it with some understanding. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered, when sin came, the spirit of disobedience came, or the principle of disobedience came into the earth realm. And now man thinks he's no better than God. We're going to get to that a little bit later. Because of the principle of good and evil, because of the principle of right and wrong entered into man, and therefore man had the ability or think he can judge for himself what is right or wrong, when that judgment never was or should have been in men's hand. But because of the fall, men now want to judge what is right and wrong for themselves, and all the time it was in God's hand. Adam didn't know he was naked. Eve didn't know that they were naked, because that principle of shame and sin was in God. It was hidden in the garden. God hid it, but because of their temptation that they fell to, they were open to that principle. Now, I'm going to read on now. I'm in the book now, Claire. Since the fall of Adam, disorder had prevailed in the universe. What is disorder? Everything that's not in God's order prevail in the universe. And if you look at the universe now, look at the world system now, you can see that the world system is filled. It's disorientated. It's filled with disobedience. It's filled with disorder. It's filled with chaos. And it's filled with confusion. People are so confused right now. Now why? In disorder, and it has prevailed in the universe. Everyone thinks he's able to distinguish good from evil and to judge what is right and wrong. And that's why the laws are being so perverted right now, because everybody thinks they know better. Everybody know right and wrong, when God has set a principle down. God has a principle down of what's right and wrong and what's good and evil. God put it into law. When man came into the position where God began to govern man, God gave the commandments to Moses. And these put the law of God into action, letting them know what's right and wrong. Before the commandment came, Paul talked about in the seventh chapter of Romans, I live. But when the when the commandment came, I died. What did that mean? He said he died. In other words, he wasn't able to have an excuse for sin. And now he was open to judgment. You see what I'm saying? Where there's no law, there can't be no judgment. But when law comes, there's judgment comes. So what God did, God gave the commandment to Moses to reveal to man what is right and wrong, since he thought he knew it for himself. You see it? God put his laws down of righteousness down through the law. The law was righteousness of God. You see, it revealed to man through the law of Moses. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then it goes on and on. But those laws presented the principle of God of righteousness. And so now man thinks he knows good from evil. You see it? And so he thinks he's able to judge for himself good and evil. And that's why the laws are so perverted, because they're making laws according to their own mind. But God's already, I'm repeating myself, God has already set up the standard for the law. God gave his right or his righteousness. God showed us what is right or his righteousness. And everything else out of that righteousness is sin and destruction and evil. All right? Now, he's man, still talking about man. He seemed to know better than God. This is the folly of the fall. We need to be delivered from such a deception because this is nothing other than, I capitalize every letter in rebellion. This no more than rebellion. And I said earlier that we don't like that word detection because we don't want to think ourselves as being a rebellious person. But anytime you disobey God's commandment, God's rule, God's law, God's spirit, then it's functioning in that principle of rebellion. And so once we come into knowledge of it, you see, then we know whenever we're tempted in the wrong direction, we know to repent. You see it? But Satan's desire is to blindfold our eyes over this principle so we make excuses to repent. We don't have a conviction upon our hearts that what we did or thought is wrong. So he tried to deceive us to not to repent, to justify what's right and wrong by his principle. You know, I did because I didn't think I was treated right, or I didn't feel like I was wrong. So therefore, the repentance or the conviction to repent is not there. And therefore, Satan tried to deceive us in not having a clear conscience. You see it? You got to have a clear conscience for God. That's why I like the scripture class. Excuse me. In 139 Psalm, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God," because we don't always know when we've made a mistake or walking in the flesh or been deceived by Satan into covering up some mistake or some shortcoming. I'm kind of off my left a little bit, but that scripture says, "Search me, O God." Read that for yourself. Psalm 139. If you read it down through this chapter, you're going to see it. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. He says, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into way everlasting. I love that scripture, and I confess that scripture very often, because I don't want Satan to come by me on the blind side and try to deceive me and have me, because even in our own mind, we try to justify what's right and wrong because part of that principle still functions in us. And once our mind becomes renewed in this area, then Satan will have no stronghold, no place in us to be able to deceive us anymore in this area. Are you following me, Claire? Satan, in his trickery, in his conniveness, in his subtlety, always tried to deceive the body of Christ. And I found this out, Claire. The more you mature in righteousness, the more you try to walk closer with God, the more craftier he becomes in his deception. He can't deceive you in the same old temptation anymore. You know what? He can't make you take a drink once you've been delivered from that. He can't make you go out in the street anymore because you've been delivered. Because you come far from those things. But what he tried to do to his subtlety, he tried to use this subliminal tactics on us and try to come in from the backside where we don't see and deceive us. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. Why are we not ignorant of Satan's devices? Because the Holy Spirit, thank God for the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, revealed to us his Satan's plans and deception. And through word knowledge, through the gifts of the Spirit, and through discerning of spirit, so we can know that we're not going to be deceived by the enemy. And if we are deceived, thank God for the Holy Spirit that we can confess our sin and Jesus and just forgive us for our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, class. Now, let me get back to the lesson. But I see a trickery of the enemy in this area here. And I see how he have deceived the body of Christ and continue to deceive us Because even in our much knowledge, even in our much scriptures, even in our much praying, even in our much fasting, he still tries to slip in from the back door. You see it? You see it? Because 1 John said, if any man say he have not sinned, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. So why? Why did John say that by the Spirit? John said because Satan is so crafty. Just when you think, he said, be careful. You know, don't get so proud that you're standing, lest you fall. In other words, don't get so high-minded, think you got everything together, and then you open the door somewhere else. You see it? So that's why we need discernment. That's why we need to know that how to deal with the principle of right and wrong, and knowing that all this is in God's hand. And there's the remedy for this. All right, Claire? Thank God for the apostolic. Thank God for our apostle that give us insight into a lot of these tricks and cunning in the mind and the soul and getting our mind renewed and getting our thoughts right. You see it? So we're not going to be pray for him. All right? Let him find somebody else, Claire. Let him find somebody else. Our knowledge, listen to this, Claire. Our knowledge of obedience is woefully inadequate. You see, we think we know, and so that Satan functions what we don't know. Some seem to think their obedience is complete and full upon their obedience to the Lord in baptism. See, obedience is a foundational principle. If this matter of obedience remains unsolved, nothing can be solved. It must be solved. As faith is the principle by which we obtain eternal life, so obedience is the principle by which that life is lived out. That's very important, Claire. The division and disruption currently within the church stems from rebellion. And a lot of times, you know, the church go on as usual, but there's no more church as usual because, well, we learn through revelation and through the wisdom of God and through his word that most of the church problem, most of the disruption, most of the disorder within all of the churches stem from this rebellion, you know, you know, sometimes I don't like to keep talking about the word rebellion because it seems so evil sometimes. It makes us think like we're evil people. No, I'm talking about the principle here. There's a principle of rebellion just like there's a principle of obedience. And rebellion, you know, the best definition I can give you without going to a Webster dictionary is to disobey what God has ordered. Now, it could be as simple, and sometimes we don't want to take ourselves to that degree, but it's there anyway. And I mentioned in the class last week, sometimes about Satan give us the excuse. We use the excuse, "Oh, I miss God," and like that. When you say that, you don't give yourself a chance to repent because you think it is normal missing God. Well, in essence, what you're really saying is, "I did not obey God." And you see, but that's a different tone when you say it like that. "I miss God. I miss God on that one," but no, when you say, "I disobeyed God," it brings it to another level of conviction. And in our own heart and mind, in your right mind, you don't want to disobey God. And when you disobey God, you should repent. Oh, say, "God, sorry, I didn't obey you right there." But now with modern terminology, you see, sometimes watered down, and that's the little subliminal things I'm talking about. You use little terminology to make it of none effect, to make the word of God of none effect. And he come back through a back door. "Oh, I miss God." And now that sin of missing God, what we, he don't want to think is a sin because it's disobeying God's spirit. And so therefore, we don't repent of it. Now, you see how crafty and trickery that is? And so you got to be mindful of our terminology. Instead of saying that, and then you say it with pride. Oh, I miss God on that one. And I've said it. I miss God, and I may have said some other things. But if I ever come to the point of understanding I disobeyed God, then it brings me to another realm of conviction. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want to disobey you. You say if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and clean me from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for cleaning me. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. And Lord, help me not to walk that same direction. I mean, that's a good prayer to pray. I find myself praying that when I disobey God. You see it? And not do what he say do. Many a time, we're doing the witnessing app, and an apostle gave another appeal on Sunday to the members and to the online members about the app. And that app is the apostolic. God gave it to apostle, and we've got to the point where it's becoming a normal lifestyle for us to witness. Well, sometime like not long ago, I was into the supermarket, and these two young men, I was getting my wife some water. Well, not I was getting we some water, us some water. And I walked by the stack of water in Walmart, and had two young men standing up talking, and I heard the voice of the Holy Ghost to tell me to witness to those two men. And you know, I'm getting my water, I made a little casual conversation with them, but I reneged, I made excuses, I compromised with myself. But when I walked away, I knew. See, now watch this word. Why the word that I could have said or probably did say to myself, oh, I miss God on those two young men. No, in essence, what I did was I disobeyed God. And when I got to myself, I had to repent. I said, God, forgive me for not witnessing those two young men. And I realized that any disobedience, now listen to what I say, any disobedience. And we don't like this word. I'm sorry, Claire, but I got to say it. Any disobedience is rebellion. Now, see, and the reason why it sounds so strong, because we don't want to think ourselves as a rebellious person. Well, it's not called your best rebellious person, but it was a rebellious act. I refused to obey God. And so, therefore, I rebelled against God's commandment. And that'll keep you in conviction, Claire. And that's what the devil don't want. He don't want us to walk in this conviction of obedience. You see, we should walk in this conviction of obedience on a daily basis. And therefore, when the Spirit of God moves upon us and leads us to do certain things, then we're more prompt to obey. Because God, I don't want to disobey you. Now, Claire, I hope you see where we're going with this. And it prompts your heart to walk in another level of obedience, because I don't want to walk in disobedience, because that's not God's principle. That's the satanic principle of the fallen state of man. But I've been redeemed, and Jesus, the King of obedience, the Prince of obedience, have restored me to my rightful place with God, and I walk in obedience by faith through grace. You see it? You see it, Claire? Now, I'm stuck here a little bit, and you see, you would think that not much in these statements, but when you look at it from the spirit standpoint of view, you can see it. You can see it. It took me years to see this. It took me years to understand this. And so now I'm getting keener when I see these things. My eyes are more open to these things now. And so Satan, his craftiness, it being exposed more and more and more in my life. All right? Now, why this now? The divisions and disruption covering within the church stem from disobedience. Satan, listen to this. I wrote this note down. This is Satan's hidden principle within the church. Oh my goodness, you heard that? This principle, you see it? It with all the disruption, he hides it, this hidden principle, and he had the church fighting against each other, and had the church fighting against the leader, and disgruntled. And so what Satan wanted to do is dismantle the work of God through disgruntled people. And so therefore, he hides this principle. He hides this principle of rebellion within the church, so the church gets stuck in good and evil, right and wrong, and functioning the principle of rebellion. And when they get stuck, they don't know how to get up. And that's why they need the apostolic. They need the apostolic to break the power over this principle within the church. And once that power is broken, then God is free to move within that church and begin to manifest himself like he always wanted to. Now, let me move on, Claire. In order to recover authority, obedience must be restored. You see, and that authority of God, we're talking authority of God, when God is able to put himself back within the church. You see, what I mean, God put himself back in the church. When the principle of being restored, therefore, God can restore his, how would I say it? I'm trying to say it proper, class. When the principle of obedience is restored within the church, therefore, God can manifest himself like he always wanted to. And his spirit can be manifested within the church. And Satan's principle of rebellion can be demolished, can disintegrate, and has no power over that church. You see it? Now, many, listen to this now, we get a little bit deeper. Many, we're talking about church leadership now, many have cultivated the habit of being the head, yet without ever having known obedience and submission. You see? Never learned this principle. And never learned the principle, they can't identify, and they have no idea of what being the head means. And what it means when authority when authority is restored, and they don't even know when authority. Listen to this. The man problem is they don't know when authority is absent. They don't know when authority. It's not even present within the church. And that's the fall of what God's principle had intended for the church to be, when they don't even recognize that there's no authority at all. It turns, I got it now. When the church have no understanding or no idea what authority is, it turns into religion and tradition. That's the absence of the authority of God and the authority of God leadership within the church. It turns into religion, tradition, and the doctrine of men. That's the fall of God's authority. All right, Claire? Now, I'm going to move on a little bit. A few more minutes left. Let obedience be our first reaction. See, this, for a low degree, has been the missing ingredients. You see, within our personal life, in our home life, in our worldly life. When I say world life, I'm talking about the system, our jobs, where we go on day-to-day, our circle of life, our home, husband, wife, it was missing. But let obedience be our first reaction. God has not withheld anything from us concerning authority. He has already shown us how to be subject, are submitted to both direct and indirect authority. Many profess they know how to obey God, but they really know nothing as to obeying delegated authority. Oh, class, that's a mouthful. Many are confess or profess that they know how to obey God, but yet they know nothing or little about obeying delegated authority because they have not been taught the principle. And they don't understand that delegated authority is still under the same principle of direct authority. You cannot be submitted unto God unless you submit it to delegated authority. And you can't bypass delegated authority. God always used men. God, from the beginning of time, God always put a man between himself and God. Put between us and him. He always put someone in between us. You see it? He put Abraham. He put Moses. He put Noah. You go on and on and on and on and on. He put all these men. Put the prophets. In these days, apostles and prophets. And pastors and leaders, church leaders. In before us, you see, and therefore it's to be able to put his principle in a divine setting, you see. And once you have a divine setting, or let's use the word divine order, God can begin to manifest himself properly. Since all authority comes from God, we must learn to obey them all. The problem facing us in our day are due to men living outside of the authority of God. It's sad to say, church, it's sad to say, class, that men have not known the authority of God. And and it put the church in a position where God has to hold back some things because the disorder that prevailing in the church. Thank God that we're in a position to know. Why? Because God has already placed us in a proper order within this setting with our apostle and prophet and with the order of the church, with the order of LTMA. With the order of the school, and I see such a submission within this government that God has given us here at World Life Christian Center. I see such a divine order. I see men and women getting freed up because they're walking in the divine order and understand this divine order. And therefore, God began to manifest some things in people's lives. Apostles getting letters from all over the world of people getting blessed. Why? Because this divine order had been set, and God is well pleased in this. I don't want to call it organization, but this government that God has set up here. And thank God that we all are part of it, this government. Now, that's more I can say. There's another system here that I want to look at. I got 6 minutes to look at it. And it's talk about right and wrong is in God's hand. This take the other statement that we talked about a little further down the line. Now, just let me read. And if I see some points I want to stop, I'm going to deal with it. But the things I'm going to read are very important. And just hearing them bring enlightenment to you because it brings enlightenment to me. And so, if I see something I need to elaborate on within these next couple of minutes, I will. It says, man's action should not be governed by the knowledge of good or evil. It should be motivated by the sense of obedience. You see it? And the reason why, because the sense of obedience gives us the avenue to be able to function in Romans 8 and 14. You see, and we're going to cover that, Romans 8 and 14, a little bit further in the lesson. The principle of good and evil is to live according to what is right or what is wrong. See, we're not under that principle anymore because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Before Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their right and wrong were in God's hand. If they did not live before God, they do nothing at all. For their right and wrong actually were in God. What is that saying? Adam and Eve didn't even have to concern themselves with right and wrong because God had all those things within himself, and therefore all Adam and Eve had to do was just live before God, just enjoy life, live before God. Didn't have to think about right, didn't have to think about wrong, didn't have to think about being naked, didn't have to think about eating and drinking, and all they had to do was live. My goodness, can you imagine it? All we had to do was live, and now we in this world system, we got to try to figure out everything. Can I do this? Should I do that? Can I do that? No, we've been redeemed from that. Now, all we had to do was live. Consequently, after the fall, men need not find in God the sense of right and wrong they have in themselves. Now, the fall put that in themselves. Now, all of a sudden, I know right from wrong. I know good and evil. But now through the redemption work of Jesus Christ, after all those years of living with right and wrong within ourselves, now we're trying to be converted back to putting right and wrong back in God's hand. I hope I'm making sense, class. And to put right and wrong back in God's hand, that we don't have it, we got to resist it from being in ourselves. And here's how we do that, class. We live according to Romans 8 and 14. And men are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, what does that scripture mean? All you do is live. God said turn right, you turn right. God said turn left, you turn left. You have to try to figure out, should I turn left? Is it right to turn left? Is it wrong to turn left? Should I do this or should no? We're operating on the principle of God now, being led by the Spirit. And that's what delivers us from the principle of right and wrong. And many, as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The sons of God restored back into the children of God, restored back to the principle of following after God, like Adam was at the beginning of creation before the fall. All we got to do now is live before God, class. Just live before him and not try to function after what is right. Try not to function what is wrong. Let the Holy Spirit determine what is right. Let the Holy Spirit determine what is wrong. Don't judge for yourself. If you don't know, pray and let God tell you and let God lead you. Don't try to determine for yourself what's right and wrong. Don't let this thing of judgment try to go back into your head. Don't try to discern these things for yourself because it's in God's hand. Hope I'm making sense. God had made it easy for us. All we have to do now is what Adam and Eve did at the beginning before the fall. Just live before your God. God would not let you go in the ditch on the left side nor on the right. All we have to do is follow after his Spirit, and God's Spirit always leads us into right because right and wrong is in God's hand. God's Spirit always leads us into what is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of light, whom no variableness need a shadow of turning. God's Spirit always leads us by the green pastures. See, God always will lead us into righteousness. God will always lead us into his divine will. And so, class, I hope I'm making some sense how to take the principle of right and wrong and say, and after the fall, once you get your mind renewed, put it back in God's hand. I don't have to judge no more. I don't have to even try to figure things out no more. The Spirit of God is my leading. The Word of God is my leading. My spiritual leader, sometimes through a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. God used supernatural ways of leading and guiding us now. No more on our own, class. So, class, my time is up. You've been a good listening class. I wish I could have got further, but we're going to move on a little further next time we meet. I hope you have a wonderful holiday, and God bless you, and God make your path straight. God bless you. I'll see you next time.